Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
We're going to wrap up Daniel today. We reached our final message here in Daniel. We're going to wrap it up, chapters 10, 11, and 12. They're pretty short chapters, actually, so it's not as daunting a task as last week's three-chapter sprint. But the interesting thing about Daniel is it doesn't really wrap up neatly in a bow. And there's several books within Scripture that are like that, that just seem to end, and you're left going, what happened? But Daniel's definitely one of those. It doesn't end with saying, you know, Daniel going, I got it, I understand, Lord, thank you, appreciate it, have a nice day, the end. Right? It doesn't do that at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Near the end of chapter 12 in verse 8, look what Daniel says. We're going to jump to the end first, and then we're going to make our way back. Daniel said, I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, Lord? I mean, Daniel had spent a lifetime of faithful service to God in the most difficult of areas, in the most difficult of circumstances. And God had been faithful to him, obviously. As he had been faithful, God had been faithful. And he'd risen him to prominence, and he had allowed him to interpret dreams and see things and understand things that other people couldn't understand, couldn't see. And yet here at the end, he says, I don't understand. Which for me, it means maybe we should give ourselves a little grace when it comes to understanding all of the things that we see in Scripture. And maybe also, on the other end of that spectrum, we should practice a little humility sometimes when somebody might say, I have every detail of Scripture figured out. I've got all of the secrets undone, and I get it. It's all figured out. Because, you know, if Daniel had a bunch of questions at the end of it all, I think maybe we should be humble enough to go, yeah, I don't have it all figured out either. Daniel 10 through 12 is some of the most detailed and difficult prophecy within Scripture. Again, it's short, but it is jam-packed with so much. It's got spiritual warfare. It's got kings of the north, kings of the south, and political intrigue and persecution, and this terrible period of distress that it describes with numbers and timelines. And then in the end, it talks about resurrection. But as we looked at last week, if we get so caught up in trying to decode all and each and every detail of what Daniel wrote down, we're going to really miss the greatest part of his message. See, at the end of the book of Daniel, we don't see Daniel saying, hey, figure all this out. Good luck. You're on your own. God actually says to Daniel, just go on your way until the end, which means just be faithful and trust that I have it all in control, which I've come to say, you know, simply this is what I want us to understand today. If you're going to take a picture of the screen, I'd ask you to take a picture of this and something to ponder on and talk about with your friends or in your groups, is that faithful disciples endure because God sees the battle, knows the future, and promises victory in the end. Now, what I want us to really focus in on that statement is that it says, because God sees the battle, the future, and promises victory. Not that I see that, right? It doesn't say faithful disciples endure because we've got everything figured out. It is the faith and the trust in the holy God and the fact that he does ultimately have it all in control. That's what's so important. And it got me to thinking, right? some of you have been around, you've heard us talking about, God has really blessed Bethany in an incredible way, and really we're experiencing incredible growth, and it has brought on the need for us to hire a youth director, or a discipleship director, youth and discipleship director, or some combination of those two things. And we had hoped, and we had planned, and we had budgeted that God would bring someone by July of 2026. And I don't know if you know this, but it's September. And it seems like it should only be July, but it is September. And we're still waiting. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it because whoever God wants to bring, he's going to bring in perfect timing. And we're very excited and very in great anticipation for that revelation of who that might be. And we have people that apply, and we've had some really good candidates that have applied, and it just hasn't been the right fit. And we're okay with that. But the purpose of me talking about this is that God is doing things behind the scenes that we don't understand. And God is preparing the hearts of people, and specifically in our context, the hearts of one man who God is going to perfectly fit amongst us and for us in this incredible role, this incredibly important role. And so we need patience. But that doesn't mean that we just sit and wait and twiddle our thumbs. People still do that? Do people still twiddle thumbs? Because that used to be, when you grew up in the 80s, that was all you had to do. Now you just sit and scroll, right? But, back then we just would like, okay. I remember a lot of summer vacations where my mom was like, go outside. I'm like, it was 115 degrees. She's like, well, that's all. Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, we don't do that. I don't know how I got off. Sorry. But we need to pray. And we need to pray for God's will and for our own patience, and our understanding that he is doing things behind the scenes. It's such an important component of faith that we don't have everything in our control. Thank goodness everything is not under our control. Because how else would we find the perfect person for this role? Or how else would we find the strength in the midst of persecution, in the midst of uncertainty, to continue on in our own personal lives? See, Daniel 10 opens in a very interesting way. Daniel has been given this incredible vision of a very difficult reality that is approaching and that is coming. And it says that he spent 3 weeks in mourning and in fasting. And that's incredible. To mourn and to fast. Now, he did it a specific way. He didn't just completely cut out all food. The scripture says that he, it's where the Daniel fast comes from, if you're a health person. He cut out some of the indulgences of life. He cut out some of the things that he didn't need to eat while still eating some of the vital foods. But 3 weeks, he was in mourning. He was deeply burdened for the hardship that he had seen in this vision. And then he sees in verse 5 a heavenly messenger. Let's look what it says. It says, I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. And if that description wasn't wild enough, skip down to verse 12. And the messenger says, in response to Daniel, he says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the 3 weeks that Daniel prayed, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. Now, overall, This is a pretty encouraging message, right? The Spirit has come to deliver a message to Daniel to interpret the dream. From the first day that Daniel started praying, God heard his request. He heard him. And then as the messenger explains, there was a reason why Daniel had not heard an answer. This messenger had been blocked for 21 days by the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia until an angel, Michael, came and assisted him. Now, this is a very strange passage, right? If you're just getting into scripture and you're reading this, you're like, what have I gotten into? Well, let me help you out here. So this is spiritual warfare. This is the definition of spiritual warfare, right? Daniel is being shown that there is a great spiritual conflict behind visible events that are happening in this world. The Bible gives us glimpses of spiritual warfare all throughout, but this is one of those passages that we really have to be careful with, right? It doesn't give us enough information for us to build this entire detailed map of the unseen spiritual realm. And there are plenty of people, there are a lot of people that do that, right? They take passages like this and then they start piecing together some of their own thoughts and some of their own figurings, and that becomes a dangerous place when you start treating that as scripture. God gives us glimpses into these things on purpose. Right? We have to resist the temptation to become overly imaginative of what's happening here, to the point where, you know, you're in the middle of a traffic jam and you're going, well, this is spiritual warfare. There's something keeping me from getting here to the place where I'm getting on time. No, you just left late. Okay? Let's not forget about that fact. Now, with that said, Daniel 10 does give us something very, very important here. That reality is bigger than what we see. That's the most important thing here. There is a lot of things that are going on in this world that we can understand and we can see. And the sooner that we get that, the sooner that we understand that, the sooner we become humble that you are not the center of the universe. Okay? Now, a lot of people are shaking their heads. You are not the center of the universe. I grew up in the 80s, and we didn't have DVR. And I love to watch The Price is Right. Central time, 10 o'clock during the summer, was the best time. I was great at that game. Imagine my shock when I realized that was on every day at 10, regardless of whether I watched it or not. It was amazing to me. And here's something that is sad to say. I used to think that the people that were laughing, the studio audience, I used to think that was people laughing at their televisions that was somehow coming through. Okay? I was a very stupid child. All right? I don't know. That's a confession. I don't think I've ever told anybody that. Kept to myself to this very moment. I like to make terrible admissions in front of large crowds. I don't know. It's very true, though. The fact is, there's a whole lot of things going on outside of your life. And that includes the spiritual realm. That includes the things that God is doing that we cannot see. Daniel had prayed for 21 days, and for 21 days he had no answer, and he remained faithful to pray because of something that was happening that had nothing to do with him specifically. Heaven had heard him, and that should change the way that we think about unanswered prayers in our lives. We tend to assume, if I can't see that God is working, maybe he's not working, maybe he doesn't care about me. And Daniel 10 shows us that that's not the case at all. He hears us from the very moment that we cry out, that it leaves our lips. Silence is not an indication of absence on God's part. And that should be good for a lot of us, because some of us have been praying for something for a very, very long time. And because you have not seen the answer, you may be wondering whether God is even paying attention to you, whether he cares about you, whether he's listening. Now, there's the other side of that sometimes silence is God's answer to you. But the message that Daniel is trying to show us is that we must continue to pray for it. Because we don't know. God will answer in the way that he and in the timing that he determines is right. Daniel 10 shows us that we need to recognize God's silence as what it is, which is he's in charge. And when he answers, he'll answer. And we need to be persistent to just pray until then. Because we don't know everything that he's doing. We don't know every spiritual reality that's happening. And we have very short-sighted eyes. We don't get to see the whole story that's happening. But we can keep praying. And that is what discipleship is all about. Is being faithful to believe in the thing that you're following, even when you can't see what's actually happening. And then you turn the page to Daniel chapter 11. And we get one of the most detailed prophetic chapters in all of Scripture. It describes these successive kings that will take control and rule, and military campaigns and political messages and betrayals and alliances and assassinations. It's filled. For a short chapter, it is filled with a lot of incredible detail, battles between kings from the north and the south. It gets very complicated very quickly. But what is amazing is that this chapter accurately describes the political struggles that followed Alexander the Great years later and the division of his empire. And this prophecy eventually focuses very heavily on a ruler who persecuted God's people, who desecrated the worship, the temple, and a lot of people commonly identify him as Antiochus Epiphanes. We talked a little bit about him last week. But even more people believe that this is a dual fulfillment prophecy that points not only to Antiochus, but simultaneously points to someone else in the future. You might have heard of him as the Antichrist. A lot of different opinions exist regarding the exact nature of the word here that Daniel gets. But right in the middle, and this is what I want us to focus on, right in the middle of all of that complexity, we get a line that really summarizes what God wants his people to do in the face of all of these prophecies, in the face of all of these evil realities. It's in verse 32 of chapter 11. It says, he will flatter and win over those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. If you haven't highlighted that in your Bible, highlight that in your Bible. Because that should be a reminder to us. The people who know their God. It's not just about knowing information, although knowing information is important. Know your scriptures. It is about knowing God's character, knowing his word, his faithfulness, and his voice through scripture. Knowing that no matter what is happening in this world, you can trust him even in your worst and darkest circumstances. That's been our emphasis throughout all of this book and really throughout this whole year, that when pressure comes to our lives, information alone is not enough for us. We will crumble if all we have is information. We need roots. We need relationship. That's what holds things steady. You need to know God deeply enough that when your world shifts around you, and it will, that your faith will stand solid. Daniel 11 is hard reading because it really describes a very terrible conflict that is to come, where the people of God are persecuted and faithful people are killed, which is uncomfortable for all of us because, you know, we carry around the assumption that if God is in control and he loves me and I know him, life should be easier and we should all be protected. But the book of Daniel, if nothing else, should tear that thought process to pieces. God does not promise his people a painless history. He promises them a purposeful one. And that should give you greater encouragement than just a great, easy life. Because purpose matters so much more. To have genuine purpose, that is what you'll look back on in history. At the end of your life, you want to look back and see that you made a difference for the kingdom of God. Not that you just sailed through life easy. The things that were the hardest in your life are the things that you point back to today and tell stories about. Most of the easy things that happen in life, we forget about. Daniel experienced so much pain and suffering and persecution and displacement, and yet he would never have said that his life was wasted, right? He could have very easily just taken what was given to him and, you know, thrown a huge pity party when they were taken to Babylon as a kid, or conversely, just sat it up next to the king when he got the opportunity and said, this is how I'm going to get my life right. This is how I'm going to achieve the dreams of an easy life. But he didn't do any of that. He was faithful with what God had purposed for him. And guess what? God used all of it for his glory. Even the genuinely painful experiences in his life. And so whatever you're going through today, let me encourage you that evil has an expiration date. It's not going to continue forever. Daniel 12 begins with, at that time, the archangel who stands guard over your nation will arise. So that when everything gets dark and everything gets the worst that it could possibly ever be, then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. So no matter how bad it gets, in the end, if you know Jesus, you have victory. Now, Daniel, obviously, he saw this as a terrible distress, right? This crushed him. And many people look at this passage and they look at it as in connection with historical persecution of the church. Other people point to a final tribulation. There are obviously, again, very great differences in interpretation and thought because, again, it's prophecy and we don't have all of the details because we couldn't handle it. But here's what we should all agree on, that as it says, ultimately distress will end. That suffering's not going to last forever. And God has appointed an end to all of the difficulties within life. That is the major message of Daniel, especially in these prophecies, that every earthly kingdom comes to an end. And whatever evil looks dominant in your world today, right? In your sphere of influence, or maybe just on the global stage, whatever looks horrible, the thing you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat about, that suffering has an expiration date too, which is good news, because although we don't know the date, I think it's important that we don't know the date, because I don't know about you, I would 100% misuse that information. Right? If I knew the date and the time, I would just either hunker down and just wait for the storm to pass like we all did on Thursday. Scary, by the way. That was fun. Or we'd, you know, wait in our basements, whatever it is. Or we would just be nonchalant about it, the fact that we have to be faithful to God. It's our human tendency. Right? If we can get a little bit more time before we have to get serious, we take a little bit more time. Okay? It's why the snooze button exists. Right? Because we just need 9 more minutes. I don't know why it's 9. This is not something to hit snooze on. If anyone had the excuse to push the snooze button on his life or to just wait it out and just hunker down, it was Daniel. Everything that he had been dealt, none of it he deserved, none of it was his fault. It was his ancestors' fault. And yet, we see throughout this entire book that he served faithfully. He served publicly. And people knew it. His reputation was great. And then in chapter 12 and verse 2, Daniel gives us one of the clearest statements we have in the Old Testament about the final resurrection. It says, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. See, if your hope is that the next governmental system or your next job promotion or your next relationship is going to make everything better, the book of Daniel is not very encouraging. But it's right. Right? Your ultimate hope is not found in a better boyfriend or a better job or a better car or you fill in the blank, whatever it is in your world that you constantly struggle with. Our hope is in the resurrection. God's answer to death is not merely improving circumstances before death happens. God's answer was defeating death. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We don't simply believe that God is going to make life easier. We believe that the dead will ultimately rise and that justice will come. And that those who belong to Jesus Christ will receive eternal life. That's the good news. That should get you excited. That should motivate you. See, Jesus has already gone through death so that we don't have to. He has already conquered the grave and He has already received the kingdom and He's promised it to all of those who would believe upon Him. He lives so that everyone who belongs to Him will personally understand the words of verse 2. And in that, you will find rest. See, you have been brought from death to life when you accept Him as Savior. And if you've never done that, then that's the first step of any hope to have joy in this life. Is to know Jesus personally as your Savior, to repent of your sins, and to walk in new life with Him. That's the resurrection. That's life. That's genuine life. So don't go another day without knowing Jesus as Savior. And then verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. And you can just hear the discipleship emphasis here, right? Those who lead many towards righteousness. Those who help others walk with God. That work is what matters. All of the other work that we have in this life, that is the work that matters. It's not a church program. It is eternal work for the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Daniel is showing us. As faithful as Daniel was, that's the central message. Because with all of the incredible things that Daniel saw, look what he says in verse 8. He said, I heard what he said, but I didn't understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? And I say, thanks, Daniel, because we've all kind of been wondering. How is this going to end? You ask the question that we all ask all the time. What does it look like in the end? After 11 and a half chapters of this book, even Daniel is saying what we are all saying internally. What happens in the end? And guess what? He's not given specifically the details that he asked for. In fact, he's told, look in verse 9. He's told, go now, Daniel. For what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. But the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. And then finally, skip down to verse 13. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. That is a beautiful ending. It's not really a direct answer to his question, right? He's looking for month, date, and year, and time. But God says, Daniel, listen, I'll be God. You just keep walking in obedience. You keep just doing what I've called you to do. That's what it means to go your way. And then one day, when you trust me with all the details, you will find the rest that you're searching for. That might be the best summary of how we should treat biblical prophecy that I know. That you just don't have to know everything about tomorrow to know how to live today. Because we know what the end looks like. We want God to give us the entire map. We love the point-by-point directions, and we know we like the end button so that we can say that we've arrived at our destination. But God doesn't work that way. God just gives us our next faithful step to take. And so I would encourage you to just keep going. If you feel lost, just keep walking. Just keep moving forward. And whatever your next best step is, in faithful obedience to what he's called you to, that's it. Go the way that God has directed you. Be faithful. Finish well. And know that your God will remain faithful to the end. He has a plan. He has conquered it all already. It's in his hand, and we just have to trust him with our whole life. So here's what I want us to do. Here's our next steps. In our heads, we talk about this every week. We have a head, heart, and hands next step, something for us to think about, something to get passionate about, and something to do with our hands. And so with our head, what I want us to do is to know what is certain. Know the truth of who God is. Know his voice. Know his character that is unchanging, and it is ever faithful. God rules, and Jesus sits on his throne. So build your confidence in that. And what scripture teaches us that makes it very clear how we should act. And in our heart, I want you to truly know your God. All right, if you haven't already, highlight Daniel 11:32, that the people who know their God will be strong. Highlight that, underline it, put a big exclamation and arrows towards it. Because that's direct instruction. Don't just know about God. Deepen your relationship with him, with prayer, with scripture, with worship, with obedience. Know him and walk closely to him. And with our hands, I'm going to give us something very practical this week. I want to ask us to join in persistent prayer. I talked about our search for our next director, pastor position. I want to truly petition God the way that Daniel petitioned God. So I've built this prayer list, right? This QR code is going to take you to a link that you can put your email address in. If you want to join us in persistent prayer, scan that QR code and sign up for the emails. You're not going to get the emails if you don't sign up. And if you don't know how to use the QR code before you leave today, come ask me and I'll put you on the list, okay? So there's a few of you that have an exemption. You don't have phones or you don't know how to use your phone. That's fine. But for the rest of us, scan this QR code, and what you're going to get is every morning at 6 a.m. is a little small devotional thought, some scripture, and some ways that you can be praying for this role. I want to, like Daniel, for the next 10 days, you're going to receive this. And at the end of those 10 days, if we're still waiting for God, we're going to do it again and again. So if you want to join us in this persistent prayer group, just scan that QR code. And just put your email in, and we'll get you on the list and make sure you get it every morning at 6 a.m. I think this is an incredible way that this book ends. Daniel doesn't get every answer. He doesn't understand every vision fully. He doesn't know every detail, but he knows that God has given him something better than a specific answer. He gave him a promise. He gave him rest. And a promise that he would rise. That same promise that we all have here. He said, you will receive what I've prepared for you. And I think that's the perfect way to transition us into the Lord's Supper, the observing of communion in the Lord's Supper. Because the promise that Daniel saw from a distance has become much clearer to us. We know that what was promised was Jesus Christ. Where Daniel had hoped in the resurrection, we now can look at the proof of Jesus' resurrection that has already happened. And because he lives, everyone who belongs to him has hope beyond the grave. And the Lord's Supper points us to that grace that we have received through faith in Jesus Christ. So elders, would you come and prepare the table as we prepare our hearts for this moment? I want to invite all of you who are here, who have received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who are following him faithfully into salvation, and are not living in some unrepentant sin, to partake with us. Let the words of Paul not pass by us too quickly. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So in these next few moments, I want you to be honest with yourself. And if you have something in your life that you need to get right with the Lord, use this time for that and abstain from receiving the Lord's Supper in this moment. Because I never want to take Scripture lightly. Paul says, don't do it if there's something in your heart that is against him. But spend this time reflecting on that, perhaps repenting. Get right with the Lord in this moment. But for the rest of us, as we pass the bread, spend time in thankful worship of the Lord for his life, his death, and his resurrection. Gentlemen, you can pass the bread. We're going to spend some quiet moments reflecting on that truth and what it means in our life. Jesus came willing to die for us. He gave his life. His body was beaten. His hands and feet were pierced. And he experienced suffering willingly because of his love for his creation. And so that sinners who could be reconciled back to God the Father. As Paul writes, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. Gentlemen, let's pass the cup. Spend these next few moments in quiet prayer, thanking God for who he is, for the purpose he has in your life, and for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that takes away our sin. The cup reminds us that forgiveness came at a cost. Jesus' blood was shed for our sin. But it's also the reminder of the new covenant that Jesus made with us as he went to the cross. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 25, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. May we always be thankful in remembrance. Let's take. Father, we are thankful. We are so thankful. Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship. You've created the heavens and the earth. God, you are holy. And Lord, we are sorry for the times when we forget how great you are. For the love that you showed us through the powerful sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And God, for the resurrection that brings us life. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace that is daily. We thank you for Jesus. It's his powerful name we pray. Amen. May you have a wonderful Sunday, walking in newness with Christ. If you need to get that email on the email list, please let me know. Have a great week. You're dismissed.